I was getting frozen there, and I remember I had a dry shirt, dry change of clothes in my wet dry bag just for this purpose. After I do my main hike, and I want to get some dry clothes on so I can actually sit and wait if I have to and not freeze to death. It is cold out here. Sun's coming up, but it's not doing much for me yet. Anyway, here's another email sent in for somebody in British Columbia. Alright? Listen to this one. Hello, Steve. I'm an avid outdoorsman and have spent thousands of hours in the backcountry of BC. I originally worked with forestry, spacing cut blocks and tree planting when I was in my 20s. Now I just enjoy the outdoors with my kids and camping and fishing and exploring. Sasquatch has always intrigued my interest. However, I've never seen any tracks or caught any visuals. The first eye-opener of the being was from a story about a few mountain bikers at Big White near Kelowna. We used to sit around the fire and tell stories to help pass the time. This is one of them. I'll tell you briefly what happened. There were three guys riding trails and had decided to take a break at the bottom of a run. The first to see the Sasquatch was the one guy facing the other two guys. He started to go into full-on panic attack and points as he started to come unglued. The other two guys turned around to witness this being, let out a loud scream, and run up the mountain. They had eyes on it for a couple of minutes, and it easily climbed over a 1,500 foot of vertical. The one guy who had the panic was extremely shaken and hid out in his house with the blinds closed for days. A harmless individual who I'm guessing had been shaking for the rest of his life. The story gave me a chill down to my spine. It also was a little hard to fall asleep in my tent that night. As for myself, I've had a couple of odd experiences as a solo hunter. My sixth sense works good, and I can also read people quite easily. I see you are a good, honest, and go out of your way to help a stranger type person. This must help you in your daily bush outings. We all know animals have the ability to sense your energy. I have a fond love for animals, and I'm the type of person where if there's a dog in a room full of strangers, he will lay down beside me. I feel this helps me show these beings I mean no harm. You know, it's funny you mention that. All my life, it doesn't matter the animal, and kids too, they've all been attracted and stick to me like glue. I don't know why. I don't know how many people I've met, horses, dogs, cats, and people say, oh, they don't like man, or doesn't like strangers, and they come over and stick to me like glue. It's funny, just a little while back, I was out hiking a trail near Lillooet, BC, and came across a guy and his kid and the Rottweiler, and stopped talking for a second, and the Rottweiler walked right up to me and sat down on top of my boot and just sat there. And I remember the kid looking at dad going, you know, pointing out their dog. I guess he normally didn't do that. But I can totally relate to that. I don't know what the answer is for that, but I got that same thing going on. And thank you for the kind words, too. Anyways, being in my 40s now, I've experienced a somewhat intense feeling of being watched. When it happens, I keep it simple and leave the area. One instance I had, I was creeping down a skitter trail that was growing in on both sides. I felt somewhat normal and just had that heightened sense as I get while I'm in the timber. I got to this point in the trail where I could no longer get any further. Large trees stacked oddly across the trail with steep banks on both sides. The stack of trees was not man-made, and I felt it was done intentionally to keep people from passing. Shortly after I turned around, I could hear an animal. I stopped to rest and have a listen. I never saw anything, I just heard branches snapping. And what I came to the conclusion was a cow elk. And what I came to the conclusion was a cow elk type of sound. The noise and commotion was more than what an elk would sound like. It was like two really bad hunters snapping branches to make a fire and testing out a man-made call. At the time, I was in the Cascades around Chilliwack Lake. I didn't think there was any elk known to be in those parts. I didn't feel threatened or fearful at the time, just that it was time to leave. I almost felt like I was being followed back to my truck. When I got back, I was happy to my truck. When I got back, I was happy at my truck and not happy to see it had a flat. Oh, that sucks. Still feeling eyes on me, I changed that tire in record time as I was losing daylight quickly. Another experience I had was when I was scouting a new zone. I had been hiking for a couple kilometers and finally got to the spot I wanted to check out. The timber was big with lots of fresh water coming out from a fair-sized creek. The only thing that was missing was any sign of blacktail. I didn't feel threatened, but I did feel it was time to leave. After being in the area a short time, I felt uneasy. On my way out, I heard what can only explain as a deep exhale with a deep grumbling growl. It was about 20 or 30 yards uphill and gave me a shot of adrenaline. At first, I thought it was a large grizzly until the sound of bass level deepened. As I tried to put together what it could have been, but I felt stumped. I didn't feel any panic or fear. I just couldn't figure what the noise was. You know the sound of a jet that can sometimes rumble when it enters a valley? It was like that, but it was about 4 seconds long, and I didn't hear the jet afterwards. I was definitely far enough away from any people or machines. Feeling bewildered, I continued to head out of the area and back to my truck. The only other way I can explain the rumble is to compare it with a small push-type packer. When these machines are stopped and shut down, they give off a deep rumble that you can feel in your feet. No idea what it was, but I know what it wasn't. I stole that quote from you. I will continue hunting, enjoying the woods with my family. I feel no fear when I enter the woods, but I'm definitely a believer that they are the Nephilims explained in the Bible. Before I hit the woods for the day, I will pray for strength, courage, and guidance as I work through the valley, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Everyone has a faith position, it just varies in strength. My advice I'd like to pass, if it's read on your channel, is to just stay calm and keep your poop in a group. Easier said than done, right? Like you said so many times, if they wanted to kill you, they wouldn't try warning you to leave. Enjoy the forest and your passion. Don't quit doing what you love, and just pay attention to the sixth sense, or what I refer to as the Holy Spirit. If you believe that we are just here to live and die, you'll be surprised when your time is up. P.S. For the subject of the email, I've used some of your knowledge from the Blacktail app. I found an amazing area and I want to show my thanks, and the name for the target buck for this year is Steve. I found a great shed from last year, both sides, and I'm pumped about the area. I'm hoping the term, if there's a shed, he's probably not dead, comes into play. I attached a photo. I can't wait for the platform and its contents, and I hope you get Zeus. Take care. Okay, man, thanks for that email. Chilliwack Lake. There's lots of encounters around Chilliwack Lake. I've had police officers email me from their encounters around Chilliwack Lake. I've had hunters email me on an ongoing basis. I've had another guy, he's emailed me a few times. He went up there in the night by himself and had a couple of these things standing there on the road over top of him looking at him. There's no shortage of experiences around Chilliwack Lake, Hope, Maple Ridge, Harrison, obviously. You know, all that entire, everywhere, man. Right behind me. You see that peak right behind me? Right on the top, that side of that peak right behind me. A friend of mine's dad and his other friend were up there at Mount Go hunting, and they heard what they described as the samurai chatter right out there behind me. And, it's endless. It's absolutely endless. Okay, I'm going to get one more out here, then I got to get moving. I got stuff to do. I got horses to move. What is it, 11 o'clock right now? A few hours of good hunt time left. All right, what do we got? Steve, I like to start off by saying hello, and I hope you get the big buck you're after. I watch many of your videos. You know, it's funny. I probably should save them and post them for marketing purposes or whatever, but I get, this time of year, November especially, I get a success email basically every day. One or two or three every single day during this time of year from people that the Blacktail Hunter app and the Big Game app have helped with their hunting. It's all it is knowledge. And the good thing is, it's knowledge that you can take with you and utilize it in the middle of nowhere without the internet connection, right? And that's why I did it. And another reason why I built those apps was because of all the BS that I was watching going on behind the cameras of various hunting shows and some of the bigger names that you guys are familiar with, right? The amount of bullshit they're feeding the public was making me ill. And I wanted to figure out how I could share true, honest knowledge with everybody so they could have more success out here in the woods and pass that success on to their kids and their friends too, right? And I'm super stoked and super happy it's working. And it's a really good thing. So thank you for the kind words. And I hope you get Steve the target buck. And my buck, well, we'll see. Maybe I'll get him, maybe I won't. But either way, it's all fun and good healthy activity, right? Here's another one. Steve, I'd like to stop saying hello and help you get that big buck you're after. I watch many of your videos, though with kids in remote learning, I have not had as much time as lately as I'd like. Along with buying a new home and property, we've been busy, but I'm starting to catch up on your videos again. Now, I'll start the story with this. I'm 28 years old now. This story happened 6.5 years ago in the Panhandle area of Idaho. Been an avid hunter since I was old enough to hunt small game. I grew up with loggers and hunters. I know every animal in the woods here and know their sounds in the back of my hand, like the back of my hand. I may be a woman, but I was raised like the boys, taught the same stuff, hunted, trapped, and fished. I don't care if you share the story because I don't know if it fits or if it's relevant, as all I heard was a noise that I can describe perfectly. My ex-husband and I were on a full-day hunt, and I was pregnant with my first at this time. So by the end of the day, I was pretty tired and out of breath, so I decided to go and sit and watch a nearby clear cut we had parked in. It was fairly fresh, cut that spring. My ex decided to go sit on a log and watch a drainage that I couldn't see down into, though I wasn't very far away, maybe 150 yards, from where he was sitting. So he's watching the drainage on the other side of the cut, and I'm watching the opposite side of the cut. It wasn't long before I got a feeling like something was watching me. We have wolves in the area, so I began to watch behind me and sat kitty corner against a tree so I could protect my back, but yet see both the lower and the most of the upper clear cut. The feeling grew stronger, and all the hair on my entire body, including my legs, stood on end, and I felt very nervous. Something I've never felt in my life. At least not to this extent, anyway. It's hard to explain, though I know you know exactly what I felt. I've been stalked and circled by wolves while hunting before, and it was legal to shoot them here. I was pretty nervous then, but it didn't do this feeling justice. After about 5 minutes, I started hearing a purring sound, like what cats do when they're content, but amplified by 100. It was crazy loud. I've been on tons of mountain lion chases. I've heard them while deer and elk hunting and horseback riding, and not once have I ever heard one make a purring sound this loud. I know mountain lions could be loud, but this wasn't no mountain lion. It was coming from the drainage that my now ex-husband was watching. The drainage is small in width, but goes the full length of the bottom clear cut. They had left smaller fir trees in the drainage for habitat. I started watching over near the drainage through my scope and started seeing trees swaying back and forth. I couldn't believe what I was watching and hearing. I thought to myself, this has got to be a prank. I looked over to where my ex was supposed to be sitting to find him walking backwards towards me, never taking his eyes off what I was looking at. I got up and headed to the truck, hair still standing on end. We both got in and he looked very pale, like he had seen a ghost. He locked the doors and started the truck and took off out of there like he was scared to death of whatever was in that drainage. It took us both a while to speak as we processed what possibly happened. He claims he never saw it, but as pale as he was, I questioned that. He, like me, is an avid outdoorsman. He's hunted and trapped since he was old enough to do so, and he was a log truck driver back then. When we got home, he asked me some more questions about our encounter, which I found strange at first, to be honest. One question was if I had seen a dead grouse where we had turned the pickup around earlier that morning. I said no. I had even got out to pee there because we were going to leave the pickup there, but decided after to move the truck to the other end of the clear cut in case someone else had to turn around. He pulled out his phone and showed me a picture he took of a grouse, but that's not the odd part. It wasn't a full grouse. It was the body skin with no meat. The larger skin piece was at the bottom, touching the ground. Then the wings laid perfect on top of the larger skin, and the head facing our pickup, and a leg on each side. No footprints anywhere to be seen. No animal tracks, minus the deer and elk, maybe moose tracks, as they used the road a lot up in that area, and it was fairly soft ground at the time. I don't know a single animal that's capable of placing these items like this. Maybe a raccoon if I had to pick a single rational animal. But even that doesn't seem rational to me. We were also the only ones in the area that day. We crossed the road twice higher above than we were parked, and not a single human or vehicle track had been through there within the last 48 hours. Light snow skiff and frozen puddles. Would have been easy to see if anyone had drove up there. No other vehicles in sight, and we were roughly 8 miles up the main road and turned onto the spur road, parked roughly a mile and a half up the spur road that dead ends at the next log and job site roughly 3 miles up, which we walked all the way to it through the wooded areas and some game trails. Nobody was in the area, period. I should also note that I found it odd during the entire hunt, I didn't even see a chipmunk or a bird. It was dead silent the entire day. He asked what I had heard and seen. I only told him exactly what I told you above. He asked if mountain lions could purr like that. I told him it's possible, but not probable, in my opinion. I don't know everything about mountain lions, but I've never heard one or heard of one making a purr sound that loud. I could hear it plain as day, 160 yards away. Rangefinder said the trees I saw moving was 159.5 yards to be exact. I know they can sound like a woman screaming bloody murder, which is bone-chilling to say the least. I've heard it several times in hunts and near my uncle's house as a small child. One never does get used to that sound. Well, maybe one night, but I haven't. It's an unmistakable sound once you hear it and know it's a big kitty. First time I heard that, I was 8. Funny story now. If you want to hear that, I can email that as a good laugh for you. Just let me know. I don't want to take up too much of your time. So anyway, he then asked about a bear, and I said I've heard bears grunt, gruff, snort, growl, do their death moan, but I've never heard a bear purr. Let me know if you have. We have never went back to that area again either, and don't plan to. I didn't see this thing, so I can't say for sure it's a Sasquatch, but it's the only thing I can think of that could purr loud enough. We both heard it. This isn't my only encounter with them, but it's the most hair-raising experience. Though I've never actually seen one, I've had quite a few experiences where I heard sounds and knocking. Hair-raising experiences that can't be explained by any normal animal in the woods. I've had sticks thrown at me while sitting in a spot I left elk hunt near my mom's place. Neighbor's property. It's a pretty deep bowl-shaped area surrounded by ridgeline that's pretty steep on all sides with a logging road leading down into it. The property borders the state park and a huge herd of 70-plus elk hang out in the park and come out into that bowl to feed because there's a lot of grass in it. I've had multiple hair-raising experiences and sticks hurtle at me. I now refuse to go down there alone. Anyway, I will end my email there. Make for what you will. Make what you may out of the main story. I've told a few people this story and most believe me. A few chalked it up to a bull elk rubbing antlers, but that doesn't explain the sound. Thank you for all you do and giving us an outlet for our stories, big or small. I know people have had way worse encounters, which I hope never to experience, and those stories make mine seem irrelevant and small. I appreciate everything you do and are doing. Keep up the amazing work you're doing. Side note, you don't have to read this P.S. part out loud if you choose to share the story. P.S. I made sure to say he's my ex because after that encounter, our entire relationship changed. He wouldn't let me hunt alone or go anywhere on my own. He became very controlling over me and mentally abusive if I wanted to go on my own. I've hunted on my own since I was 15. This irritated me to no end because I enjoy being in the woods alone. This isn't the only reason we split, but looking back on it now, this is when everything started to change for us. It amazes me how encounters can change the way someone thinks completely. Please keep my name private for now. Sincerely. Well, thanks for that email. You know, one thing for me that I've noticed is, you know, I've had wolves staring me down. I didn't see them, and I only realized it was wolves later when I hiked back up the next day and saw the tracks above where I was. But there isn't the one way I can tell everybody confidence that you know it's something not normal is just like you said with your hair. When all of your hair turns to wire. Every hair on your body turns to wire and your senses are absolutely on fire and you are alarmed. That's when you know to leave. I don't care what it is, something is making you feel that way. They're not making you feel that way because they want to have a beer with you. All right? No matter what's going down. That's your intuition screaming at you that shit's going sideways and it's time to leave. And you got to listen to that. And all you people out there watching me read this email right now, you got to listen to that too. If all of your hair on your body stands on end and you're feeling like not good, that is 100% indicator to just look at the ground, pick up your stuff, carry on, and get out of there. That's all there is to it. That's one thing I can tell everybody with 100% confidence anyway at this point of the game. But changing relationships too, that's happened more times than not. People that have had these experiences share them with each other. How many times have we read people who have said the people they were with, they either never spoke of it again or they never spoke to each other again. It's pretty odd, isn't it? That's a really odd thing for me, which I'm trying to understand, is why people do that. I just don't get it. You know, if anything, you'd think it would make people would bond more because they share that experience with each other instead of doing the opposite, right? It's kind of peculiar. I don't understand it myself, but anyway, I gotta get going. I am frozen, and I'll get back to cracking out more emails sooner than later. I got a lot to do. I still have a couple goals I'm trying to smash, and questions. Questions I've been seeing very common. People have asked what happened to that skull. I think the skull is in North Carolina or South Carolina, that canine-ish skull, months back. What's happened to it? As far as I know, they are still in possession of the skull. I have been in contact with them. I'm in Canada. That thing's in the U.S. There's not really much more I can do. Obviously, I'm not that curious either, personally. I'm not that curious, you know, at the way things have been going, the way things have gone in the past with the people who have delivered DNA from unknown species. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, who do you need? Who do we need the confirmation from? You know what I mean? The government? The government doesn't need anything. The government kissed my ass. How many times have I said that? They're not going to make a difference. We are going to make the difference for each other. Every single one of us. All right? This is about the most powerful thing that you or I can do is stick with each other and speaking openly and educating each other about these topics, right? That is where the true power is, obviously. So, what else? The skull. Oh, my project, the platform. This is going to be built. Obviously, I don't have time for it. It's in the hands of the techies, my techies, the code writers, to build it. It's being built. But aside from that, I have not the time to hit the content until this hunting season's over. All right, so I got at least another month. Less than a month to go of me doing my time and what I'm here to do, and after that, then I'll be hitting that full time, and that'll come to fruit soon, without a doubt. The second book as well. The second book is I try working on that half an hour in the evening, the odd time, right now, and that'll I'm gonna get that out as soon as I can, and that'll be another healthy, handy piece of information that can be left in a coffee table somewhere to be passed around and get all the information shared that way as well. And that's about it. I'm babbling. I'm frozen. I gotta get moving. I gotta pack up my stuff and get moving and get back into hunt mode here. And circle around this mountain and get back to the truck. It's too late. I got horses to move. And that's about it for now. So again, if you want to get something off your chest, email it to sharemystory@howtohunt.com or tellmystory@howtohunt.com, and I'll get to it, and I will let everybody know when the other YouTube channel will be loaded with all the hunting content so that you can bypass all these topic emails that you don't have any interest in, okay? Okay, got to get going. I see that the camera's fogged up again, so I see what's happening. The camera's frozen, there's some moisture in it, and when you turn it on, I guess the heat generated from the motor running slowly fogs up the lens, which is unfortunate. So I'll see what it looks like on the computer, the editing program, later on, and if it's really, really bad, then I'll just I'll throw some video content over top, some B-roll that you can watch instead of the foggy version.